We will do our psalm reading responsively on page 766, Psalm 32. Blessed are those whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed are those whom the Lord doth not hold guilty, and in whose spirit there are no deceit. When I did not declare my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night upon me, my strength was dried up as by the heat of the summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Then you forgive this of my sin. Therefore, let those who are godly offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of great waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You encompass me with deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like an unruly horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle. All things wicked. But steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous. Shout for joy, all of you upright in heart.
Our second reading from the Hebrew Bible comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, and then chapter 3, 1 through 7. You have to work pretty hard to get further in the beginning of the Bible. So let me ask you to find that on page 2 of the Hebrew Bible in your New Testament, the Hebrew Bible of your Pew Bible. Find that right in front of you. So during this Lenten season, we go back to some of the most foundational stories. This one clearly the foundation of humankind, the story of Adam and Eve. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today comes from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. Can be found on page 145 in your Pew Bible's New Testament. Hear these words. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned, sin was indeed in the world before the law. But sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sin were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, many more surely have the grace of God and the free gift and the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If, because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely would those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion and life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience that many will be made righteous. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. It's taken us a long time since we moved from Christmas when Jesus was born. If you'll recall, we had the story before Christmas and after Christmas when Jesus was at the Jordan River being baptized by John the Baptist. Well, directly after that, he comes up out of the water. There is as like a dove that descends upon him. And God speaks to the crowd saying, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And then Jesus forges ahead to start his adult ministry. And so if you turn to page 3 in the New Testament in your pew Bible, you'll find Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." But Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay, so I have a question for you. When was the last time, the very last time, that you were tempted to do something that you knew full well you shouldn't do? There we go. Something that was not in your best interest. something that you knew was probably not God's will for you. In short, when were you tempted to sin? And Mark got ahead of me, because for me it was this morning, it was yesterday, it was nearly every day of my life. Does that sound familiar? Well, if it does, then you and I are in very good company. As we heard in today's scripture lessons, temptation happened to Adam and Eve, and it happened to Jesus. In fact, it has likely happened to every human being who has ever walked the face of this earth. You see, it is basic human nature for us to be tempted. It is basic human nature for us to sin. And Jesus was like us. He was human in every possible way except sin. At its very heart, Lent is about boundaries and temptations and spiritual maturity. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I want you to think back. For some of you, it's recent. For others, it's a long time. But think back to the time that you were a kid. If you're a younger person, check me out. See if maybe this is true for you. When you're young, time seems to go by slowly. It feels like an eternity from the start of the school year in the fall. It goes so slowly until finally you get to summer vacation. And it doesn't help that nearly every adult in your life has a set of rules that you have to follow. Your mom tells you what you can and cannot eat. Your dad tells you when you have to go to bed and tells you when you have to get up in the morning. Your teachers tell you when to stand in line, when to be quiet, it seems like all the time. When you're allowed to go out and play for recess, and what you have to do for homework every night. It seems like everybody has a set of rules for you to follow, and most of the rules don't make any sense. Well, if you're like most of us, as you grew up, you started to chafe at all the rules, and you spent a good deal of time trying to figure out how to push the boundaries and often how to break those rules. This is truly the business of teenagers, to test every boundary, to break as many rules as you can, to assert your independence from your parents and from your teachers. Now, when you get really older, like way past 30, anybody in that book here? Oh, sorry. When that happens, time seems to go by quickly. The years seem to fly by. And with greater age often comes greater wisdom, though not always. As you look back on your life to this point, you may well realize that you made a lot of mistakes, that perhaps, if you're like me, you did a lot of stupid things. You may well understand now that all those rules of your parents and your teachers were really at their heart for your benefit. The rules were there to protect you and help you grow. The rules and all those boundaries were there because your parents loved you more than you ever realized at the time. For those of you who are a parent and share that with me, you probably have a different perspective now on loving someone and wanting to protect them and help them grow. So, thinking back, do you recognize this description of physical and emotional growth over time? Can you begin to see the parallels between this kind of maturation and the growth and development of your own spirituality? Can you begin to see the connection between your parents, your caregivers, and that most influential parent, the Lord God? As we move more deeply into the season of Lent, can you recognize the importance of beginning to think about boundaries and temptations and spiritual maturity? When you think about these Bible lessons, I think that each of us can identify with either Adam or Eve. Who wouldn't want to eat of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, especially if a snake dared you to do it? So why did God have to make those rules? My brothers and sisters, we chafe at rules. We don't like anybody to tell us how to live our lives. We naturally push against boundaries. And just consider two examples from the Bible. These probably come to mind. The Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount. The Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses may well strike you as a long list of laws that had to be followed. Do this, don't do that, blah, blah, blah. But when you look more closely, when you begin to understand some of the historical context, you may well come to realize that all of those rules were designed to protect the chosen people, to help them grow, to teach them how to live in community, to help them live better and more enjoyable lives. Well, Jesus continued to try to help people navigate their lives more successfully by telling the apostles those many wonderful, thought-provoking lessons in the Sermon on the Mount. But you know, many people see these God-given boundaries as simply commandments designed to get in our way. But as you have grown older and wiser, can you see that these rules are actually parameters to a solid Christian life? Given to us because God loves each of us absolutely and unconditionally? Each of us, every one of us, is at a different place in our walk with Jesus. Each of us is at a different place in our spiritual maturity and wisdom. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's simply the way that human beings grow and develop. We're all at different stages. But the important task for you during this season of Lent is to take stock of where you are in your relationship with Jesus. The most foundational realization you need to find is that you are a sinner, forgiven and freed by the action of Jesus' death and resurrection. Your most basic human nature is to rebel against the love of God through some of your thoughts, some of your actions. And during Lent, it's often uncomfortable to come to grips with our human limitations. Now, let me break it to you. Each of us is only flesh and bones and organs and muscles, and each of us will die one day. You are mortal. That is the message of Ash Wednesday. And frankly, temptations are all around us. And you cannot make it on your own. As independent as we are as Americans, as independent as each of us wants to be, you will only be truly happy and truly satisfied with your life when you admit your absolute reliance upon God. When you trust Jesus completely. Now, just as you probably know what is healthy for you, to eat nutritious food, to get daily physical exercise, to steer clear of smoking and drinking, to get enough sleep every night. Just as you know those things, you probably also recognize the steps that you should take in order to deepen your relationship with God. You know that you ought to read and study your Bible daily, that you should spend more time in prayer and contemplation, and that more of your time and money and effort ought to be committed to helping the poor, the hungry, the imprisoned people of this world. You know all that. Well, Lent, this time of Lent, is the time to look yourself squarely in the eye and do something about it. Think about Adam and Eve. Think about Jesus. Think about boundaries and temptations and spiritual maturity. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads us to justification and life. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. My brothers and sisters, Jesus is walking with you on your path through Lent and through life. Walk on boldly. Amen.